This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, everybody. It is Monday night here on 7 to 9 a.m. Radio K Pulpit. You are here with myself, Inga Stoffels.
And me, Zoe George.
And me, Amarine Bice.
It is a full house tonight. And we are excited for the show ahead with you guys. So, guys, how was your day? How was your weekend? Actually, to bring this energy up, because you guys are so tired.
Girl, you know, I spent this day studying and working. Like, oh my goodness. Yep. I almost forgot that I was in my exam season, because I've had so much fun this past week.
I saw. You went to the Deer Park.
Yes, I went to the Deer Park. I went for Thursdays. I got coffee with a friend on Friday. Mm. It's almost like I finished my degree and then
living
I just...
Living your best life.
Then I woke up this morning and saw those emails from uni and I was like, ah, gotta get back. But what about you, Amarine?
So I went on a camp with some of my friends in my master's degree this past weekend, and it was really nice telling all the stories, the nostalgia over the last 5 years of, you know, studying together. Mm. So I just, yeah, campfires every morning to make coffee, braaiing in the evening. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
How was your weekend, Inga?
I don't even know. What did I do this weekend?
Childcare.
I was going to say, this was a weekend of no rest for me, actually. It was up and down. But it was fun. I got to rest eventually 9 o'clock last night.
Wow.
But yeah. No, it was a good weekend. Saturday, can't remember what I did, but I had to be up early. Sunday at church. Oh, and then we did baptism as well after the service, and that went on long. And then after that, I got home. Then I had to clean things I couldn't do Saturday. And yeah, but it was good. It was a good weekend. Productive weekend. Very good.
Busy weekends are always a lot of fun.
So true. I really enjoy them because it just makes me... I love being busy. I love having things to do. It makes me feel like I'm like a character on a sitcom, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing as bad as being bored.
Right? If you guys want to tell us what you did this weekend, and we'd love to hear, you can WhatsApp us at 0817291657. You guys don't want to miss the show. We're going to be with you guys until 8 p.m. But for now, let's listen to Joyful by Dante Bo.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
What's down in Cape Town?
Cape Town.
Welcome to the What's Down in Cape Town section of the show. Today's is Yoga at the Beach and Poetry in McGregor. First, Yoga at the Beach. This is a regular event that will be around for a while, I'm assuming in the summer months. It's every single Sunday from 4:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon. I at first thought this was in the morning and I was like, oof.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but then they said, oh, every evening. I'm like... Okay.
Some people do yoga in the morning.
But
though.
To drive to somewhere, right. To be there at 4:30 to start the yoga, I was like, yo.
Besides the drive, the getting ready.
Yeah.
What time are you waking up?
You like go 3 to o'clock. Sleep in midnight. Your yoga clothes and you get up and you get in the car.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is sunset sessions. They seem like they'll be really cool. And it's at Clifton's Third Beach in Cape Town. It costs 50 rand and is done by the Om Revolution. I can't imagine anything as nice as, like, doing yoga while, like, the sun is setting at the beach with the waves in the background. That seems like the perfect peaceful location for something like that.
Literally, that's the main character energy, if I've ever heard.
That is so true. That is absolute main character energy. So they specified that this is a beginner-friendly event, as well as for all ages. They said, please bring your own yoga mat, or you can just do the poses in the sand. So if you don't have one, you can just show up and the sand is soft. Yeah, remember to social distance. You guys must keep 2 meters away from each other and keep masks on. Book tickets at www.theomrevolution.co.za/events/. It is TheOmRevolution. The Om Revolution. Secondly is Poetry in McGregor. So there'll be more than 70 poets at this event, which runs from the 19th to the 21st of November. The small town is inviting people to come in and experience some amazing poetry. The event includes book launches, discussions of poems, poetry writing courses, readings, and more. There's going to be a book tent and an art exhibition, so there's a lot of things to see. Various events cost different entries, so check them out at www.poetryinmcgregor.co.za. That's P-O-E-T-R-Y INMCGREGOR.
Wow, I must say I'm pretty excited for both of them, but more poetry festival, like, you don't really hear about those happening.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it before, so I'm like, oh, that's actually really cool.
Right.
And especially because I don't think there are going to be, like, a massive amount of incredible, like, well-known poets.
Yeah.
It's poetry at, like, all levels and all fame levels, I'd say, as well. So you can go there and you can meet some underground people. It seems like it'll be a fun low-key event.
Yeah, so true. I would actually really like to go to that one. It sounds very fun. I do love poetry. It was one of my favorite things about English in high school. Mm. Yeah.
I was going to say, so the only question is, when are we going?
Well, I mean, it's the 19th to the 21st of November, so we've got our days.
I'm writing. I'm
oh, rip to you, so man.
My tears are streaming down my face. Oh, goodness. Oh, I dry my tears. Let's get ready for the groovy movie section of the show.
Zoe on 180 Degrees. Groovy movie, all Rudy. Hey! A wap-a-di-di-da-ba-di-bamboo.
Boom!
Time to watch the movies.
Now, welcome to the Groovy Movie section of the show. Now, this week's Groovy Movie is a little bit different because it is a very well-known song, even independent of the movie. But the movie is based off of a play, a very popular play.
Hmm.
Inga and I were actually talking about this before the show started because we both did choir in high school and both of our choirs performed this song.
It's an incredibly well-known song.
Right? Oh, goodness. I'm, like, obsessed with the song. But
it's a great choir song, right? As well, specifically.
Oh, I think you're going to have to put my mic off before I start singing.
I'm also like,
goodness.
I'm just like, don't hum.
Right? This might be one of the hardest groovy movies I've done this year because of just like the nostalgia it has for me.
Especially because you sang it in choir.
Yeah.
So hold yourself back now.
Oh my goodness. And I know the parts too. Oh, you know what? Before I give it away, because you know I will, get your phones out, because if you know what this is, we want to hear from you guys. Please WhatsApp us, the answer being the name of the movie or the song, to our WhatsApp line, which is 081-729-1657. I repeat, 081-729-1657. Alternatively, you can send us an SMS at our SMS line. However, standard rates will apply. The SMS line is 37988. Not just, yeah, listen up, you guys. We really want to hear from you. If your choir sang this as well, let us know.
Zoe on 180 Degrees.
Before the break, we listened to What If by Matthew West, and it was quite a nice song. But before we listened to that one, we listened to a song that formed part of this week's Groovy Movie. Now, as I mentioned before, this is an exciting song straight off of Broadway, made into a film, very successful. A lot of people know it, and I can only talk about it so long without giving it away. I am, of course, talking about Seasons of Love from the musical Rent that was previously on Broadway, but is now on the silver screen as of 2005. So to all of you guys who guessed correctly, you can give yourselves a pat on the back because you indeed know good cinema.
We were having a wonderful time in studio just singing along.
Indeed. It's just a difficult song to not sing along to. It's
true.
It's so good. It begs you to do so.
I feel like it's because it's like a school choir song.
So true.
Send us a message if your school choir sang that song.
yeah, we would love to hear from you guys. So yeah, let's go on into the interview section of the show. So we have on Apostle Nandi Norum from Nigeria, and he is our Fountain of Life International. He does various mission works throughout Africa with a main focus on West Africa. We are so excited to speak to you now, Apostle. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How about you guys? How y'all doing? I'm enjoying your show.
We're doing well. Thank you so much for asking. So I'd just like to ask, first of all, what exactly is a missionary and what do you do in these communities?
Okay. Well, first of all, even though I'm from Nigeria, I'm actually based in the United States of America. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been in America for the past 23, going on 24 years. I've been out of Africa, I've lived outside of Africa for the past 27 years now. So I've been out of Africa for a while, but I come to Nigeria and West Africa to do missionary work. So to answer your question, what is a missionary? A missionary, from the word, when you look at the word missionary, is someone who goes on a mission and someone who has an intention to serve the community. From the Christian perspective, first of all, with the gospel. So a missionary is somebody who comes with the message of the gospel to a community. But we believe that missionary work entails two aspects. There's a proclamatory aspect, which is about preaching and teaching and prophesying, all that. But also there's a practical aspect to missionary work. That's what distinguishes a missionary from a regular minister. Ministers tend to just do only proclamation of the gospel. But a missionary goes there to actually get involved with the people and meet their needs, meet their felt needs, meet the practical needs that they have there, apart from preaching the gospel. So that's what a missionary is. Somebody who goes on a mission to, of course, share the gospel in practical ways. We believe that you got to see the face of God through our love. As we share things with them, as we practically meet needs, we can see the face of God and we can be open to the gospel. So those are things that we intentionally do. Yes.
So what made you specifically want to reach out to Nigeria?
Okay. Well, again, I'm going to go back to what a missionary is. I kind of pick up from there. A missionary has to be effective, a missionary must be able to understand the culture of the people, must be able to kind of become like them, smell like sheep, be able to identify with their needs, to meet their needs. A missionary cannot stand away, afar from the people to reach out to them. You got to go into their communities and do what they do. I'm a Nigerian by birth. Okay, I grew up in Nigeria, but I've left Nigeria. I've lived more than half of my life about half of my life, thereabouts, outside of Nigeria now. Okay, so I've been gone for a while. But I understand the needs of people in Nigeria, and I felt drawn to Nigeria, back to Nigeria a few years ago. I'd left Nigeria for about 14 years. I'd not gone to Nigeria 14 years, but I kind of felt drawn to come back into Nigeria to do some work. And I began to interact with people who I know, who are pastors and people who are head of ministries. And in the process, I discovered that people have needs, practical needs, beyond just preaching and teaching. They have needs for, resources and human resource training, leadership training, need for food, need for clean water, need for clothing, those type of things. And therefore, we began to look at how can I get resources together from America and also with my partners and friends and family members and be able to send to meet this need so that as we preach the gospel to them, we can also demonstrate the love of God in practical terms. So yes, there was a drawing from God to go back to Nigeria to do that. And also from Nigeria, we start growing out into other aspects, other parts of Africa. So Nigeria being the, our starting point, as it were.
Something that I'm really interested in, also working in ministry myself, is how COVID-19 and travel bans have affected your outreach and ministry work since 2020.
It's been really challenging. I was supposed to be in South Africa. I was supposed to be in South Africa two times. So I've been in South Africa last year and earlier this year. But there's so much bans and restrictions and so much confusion with the politics of the whole situation that it made it very difficult, literally speaking, to travel. I was supposed to have gone to Nigeria last year also. I couldn't make it because Nigeria was closed. Most countries were closed. So we're restricted. We're not able to effectively reach out to people. So what did we do in the interim? What we did was that we partnered with people and we began to send resources. So while we were not practically able to be there physically on ground, we began to partner with churches and organizations. So we sent resources, sent money and for people to buy food and share with different churches. We did that. I mean, many ministries were directly, if I say, blessed by our ministry by doing that. Apart from that, I also began to engage, of course, with the advent of Zoom and all the other things. We began to do programs in collaboration with different ministers from around the world. So last year, I held many meetings, many programs online, many forums and different, you know, types of things online, you know, with different ministers from South Africa, from London, from Nigeria, from Ghana, from the Caribbean. You know, we had different ministers come in different forums on different topics. So while we're physically not able to go, we're able to use technology to go. We're able to use the media to go. We're able to use our money to go, our partnerships to go. So we were restricted physically, but the gospel is not restricted. Thank God for technology. Mm. We're able to use that. And so we're able to get some things done. That was it.
I would like to ask you a more of a personal question, Apostle. So as you said, there is a difference between just being a, air quotes, regular minister and a missionary. So how did you know that you were called to go specifically into missionary work and not just be like a regular minister?
Well, there are two things, there are two ways to know, to identify. One way is God's direct instruction.
Mm.
God's, or let me call it, or a burden from the Lord. Sometimes God might not say to you, son, go there, but it's a burden. You feel a burden, you feel a godly responsibility, an assignment to go somewhere. Now you begin to pray about it, and then the more you pray about it, that burden gets stronger. It gets stronger. For you not only to focus on preaching, but also practical things. And now, let me say this. God gives us different burdens, different assignments to fulfill. So some of us, like for me, for example, there's the burden to do not just only preaching, but also to do demonstration in terms of practical terms. So that's one way, that's one of the things. The call of God, the burden, a burden from God. So God could give you a direct word from the Lord, tell you, hey, go to so-and-so place, or begin to focus your ministry in this direction, or a burden. God gives you a burden, and as you pray about it, that burden grows. It grows, and then God begins to, of course, connect you with other people. Connect you, you know, begins to, I call it cross-pollination. God begins to bring people your path and people you never knew before who didn't know you. Somehow you guys connect and you are able to see that there's something that can happen here. And that partnership now begins to, of course, develop, and the opportunities to fulfill that call, to fulfill that assignment, that burden begins to manifest and you pursue it. And the more you pursue it, guess what? The more it grows. And the more it grows, the more you pursue it. And also other people come in. I was, for example, I was online sometime and a gentleman from Ghana reached out to me and said, hey, man of God, and he began to talk to me, we want to come to Ghana. I'm like, yeah, we'll come to Ghana. And I started talking to him, but at some point in time, we're going to do a mission next year to Ghana. You know, so that's pretty much how it works.
Sure. And I think that is also something that is so, you know, when it's God ordained, when there's divine alignments, when you don't go look for the people to come into your ministry, but God kind of just puts them onto your path. And he aligns everything so perfectly. So something that I want to ask was, like, what was your vision, mission, some goals and objectives for this year? And would you say that you've met the goals that you set out for within this year?
Yes. This year, our goals was, of course, to travel. I've not met all the goals. I was supposed to have, we're planning to go to Mexico. Mm-hmm. We made contact with people in Mexico, but somehow because of lockdowns, we're not able to accomplish them. But for the most part, yes, we've met them. I mean, this year we expanded our mission in Nigeria. We expanded it and to begin to embrace people who are leprosy patients at leprosarium, and also engage people who are in an orphanage. And we began to minister to those people. We did a lot of ministerial training. We also did a lot of entrepreneurship programs helping people to engage their minds and their skill set and begin to make money with that. So yes, we've been able to accomplish quite a lot. I'm going to Nigeria this week to go and continue doing that. Yeah. So we've been able to accomplish quite a lot, but we're, and so the coronavirus in itself restricted us because we, people from Mexico were supposed to have connected with them out South America, but somehow that connection did not really perfectly come together. Now, sometimes the way this things work is while you want to do something, I'm going to pursue and pray about it. We live in a human, in a world where there are restrictions here and there, and we just keep working, keep trusting God and keep believing God that doors will open, that, you know, things come together, and we just keep pursuing it. So this year has been fruitful. I mean, I'll be honest with you, our trip to Nigeria in the month of July was super successful. It was great. You know, I've also traveled within America here, ministering the word of God, preaching the word of God. What we also do in America, because America, it's a little bit different the way America works. We partner. I do more partner with other ministers, other ministries in America. Some time ago, I think it was, there's a holiday we had here, and we partnered with another ministry to reach out to people who are elderly, who are in homes. We reached out to them and shared the love of God with them, practically shared things with them, and went there to sing. My wife and my kids went. I traveled, I wasn't around. My wife and my kids, they went and sang and, you know, cheered up the elderly in those homes. So we've gotten things done this year, but, you know, we trust God for greater next year.
You've spoken a bit about the expansion of ministry that you guys have had this year. Have you experienced that there's been an increased need for missionary work since the lockdown or COVID-19?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. Because, again, with the lockdowns, there came a lot of people lost their jobs. You know, people are trying to rebuild. A lot of people were laid off or they were furloughed or whatever you want to call it, and they're trying to get back again. So there's need for finances, for food, for health care. People were afraid, you know, of, for their lives and for the future and for their nations and all that. So particularly missionary work has had to change a little bit, not just only just a pure, like I said before, just the teaching of the word of God to becoming more of an encourager, becoming a place where people can come to and lean on for encouragement. So a lot of my posts on social media have taken that shift, as it were, to get more into encouraging people. And that thing has happened during lockdown that for many of us it's helped us begin to refocus again. What are the fundamental things that we believe as Christians? A lot of times, we go to church, we take some things for granted that everybody knows the truth of the gospel and the word of God. But during the lockdown, we're able to go back and look at it. So there's now a heightened need. But with that also came confusion, because now you go online, everybody's online. How can the preachers online? So it's been very challenging, but it's because of the need. People out there in the world felt hopeless. COVID-19 made everybody feel helpless and hopeless, and so yeah. That meant that the church, the body of Christ, had to become the place for hope. So we as missionaries, we began to do, or we have to, practically speaking, to help people to find hope in God himself, a relationship with God, begin to understand their faith better, and also provide resources, ongoing resources, to help them realize that, look, God is on your side, God loves you, and God wants to meet your needs.
So I'm going to ask another very personal question, and it's not that personal, but I want to ask what the best part about working in the missions field is, and if you have any advice for anyone who wants to enter this field as well.
Wow. The best part, oh my goodness. The best part of mission is seeing people smile. It's literally being that hand of God to people. You know, they say people don't know how much, they don't care how much you know, until you can see how much you care. Being able to see people smile, being able to see people begin to understand God because they see us. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Mm. You know, where you become the extension of Jesus to people, you cause them to smile, you cause joy to come, you cause hope to come alive to people. I mean, that to me, bar none, is awesome. There's a picture, a video where my team went to an orphanage, and oh my goodness, one of my team members embraces young people, an American lady embraces young people, orphans in Africa. you know, embrace them. There was no, this was, of course, with the coronavirus, embrace them with smiles, and you could see the children, they were so happy, they were so excited, all of that. When you see those people smiling, you see them happy like that, there's nothing. You can't, I mean, $1 million cannot make you feel better than that. So anybody who wants to go to missionary work, I want to just encourage them and say, look, God needs people. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Mm-hmm. So if you feel a nudging towards serving people, practically speaking, I want to encourage you to take some time to pray about it, okay? If you're part of a local church, which you should be part of, absolutely, talk to your pastors, talk to your leaders, share with them this burden that you have. Because one of the things that makes mission work easier is when you have partners, when you have your local church supporting you. I mean, every time I travel, I have people, I have ministries supporting me, I have pastors, friends, family members sending resources. It makes it easier for you. So even when you feel discouraged, you can, because of the support you have and the networks you have, you can see things, you can feel, you don't give up. You don't give up. Keep plodding at it. Let me say this quickly, and that's this. I noticed also that we're doing a lot of ministry, and it was more, I noticed we're doing more, I'll call it touch and go ministry. Touch and go meaning that you go there, you minister to them, you're gone. We'll come back next time again, we'll do it again. But I wanted more partnership ministries. So this year also, we began to go partnering. We began to look for ministries that will partner with us. So that not only do we go to them, but they also come connect with us. We become like friends. So that what we do will be sustained. Jesus said he wants us to bear fruit, and our fruit will remain. So there's lots of things we're doing right now. I'm beginning to focus on that. I'll focus on being able to build longer lasting relationships. We're looking at next year. We're looking at being able to have people sponsor people in Africa. You know, people who are orphans or people who are widows, have people sponsor them from the West. So that financially speaking, every year, every month, you can send them a $20 or $30 or $10, whatever it is. And that way help those people on an ongoing basis. A kid who's going to high school or who's going to college or who's in elementary school, who probably doesn't have resources to go to school, and will drop out if we don't send that money. If we send it through their church, of course, to minister, to help them to fulfill their dreams. So all of that, anybody wants to engage, these are things that God's going to take you into and much more. So don't be discouraged about it. Find a local church, of course, or connect your local church. Take time to pray about it. So that way you know God is sending you. You don't want to go where God does not send you. Mm-hmm. You want to be one of the sent and not one of the went, as we say. Mm-hmm. So those are things I would just encourage anybody to do.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And let me say this also before I go. You're never too young to do it. I've taken my kids who are young. You're never too old to do it. You can't say, there are two types of ministries. Three types of mission work. Number one is what they call embedded missions. Embedded missionaries. An embedded missionary is the one that goes to live among the people. They actually relocate and live among them, begin to understand their culture, begin to eat their food, and begin to share the gospel with them, begin to live out the life of Christ, also connected to the home missions. So the home base is sending resources, and they're able to be a blessing to the people. The second group of people is someone like me. I go in there, I work with established groups, do relationships with them, and I go there 3-4 times a year, and I'm connected with groups, constantly build relationship. The third group of missions is what many people fall into, and that is when you go there on a trip, on a missions trip. Okay, you find a missionary group or a group going to Africa, going to America, going somewhere, China, India, wherever, and you go with them and do like a short-term missionary work. You go there and be there for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or maybe a week and just do short-term missionary work. So you go there so whatever group you fall into, everybody can do missions. That's what I'm saying. Everybody can do missions. You can do it full time. You can do it like myself, or you can do it you go on mission trip. But everybody can be involved. So wherever you are in this spectrum, please keep doing it. Keep serving Jesus. Keep loving on God's people. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Apostle, for giving us those nuggets of wisdom and just sharing with us the joys of doing missions work. I really enjoyed this interview.
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing your calling in Christ with us. It's always so wonderful to hear people's experiences.
Yes, thank you.
So I'd just like to lastly ask if there's any way anyone listening can follow Fountain of Life International online. Like, do you have a website or any social media handles you can share with the audience?
Yes, I used to have a website, but we're rebuilding it right now. They can connect with me on Facebook. On Facebook, Fountain of Life International, or you can go on my name, Nnamdi Norom. If you don't know how to spell it, just go Fountain of Life International. I'll be right. You'll see me right there.
Yes. Thank you so much, Apostle. Please enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Bye.
Thank you. God bless you, Baba.
God bless you, too. Wow. That was a really insightful interview. I always love speaking to missionaries.
Mm.
I know quite a few people who've gone on short-term missions, and they always just speak with... They have a lot of love in their heart,
yes.
Because in order to do that, you really must have a love for people.
And a passion for people.
Yes.
Because, I mean, and I like what he said. When he said, if something is a burden on your heart, then it's part of your calling. It's part of your passion. Because there's many times where you might feel like, you know, the youth is really burdening on your heart, and then you know you need to go out there. Or the poor is really burdening on your heart, and then you need to pursue it. Like you said, pursue it, and it will grow. The burden will grow and grow, and you'll feel like you need to do more and more. And you will step into your purpose, basically.
So true. I especially loved that phrasing that he used, burden. I've never actually heard it being used before, but it really did feel like it. Closely connected, because you really do feel like a burden for those people in those situations that you're going to do the missions work for. So yeah, that was a really insightful interview.
Yeah, it was very inspiring.
So true. Now let's just hear a status promo about our new mall, you guys.
All right, now it is time for the Mystery Bible Quiz. This week's question, I cannot give you guys a scripture reference for, because it's also one of the answers to the question. So the question for this week is, what are the names of Naomi's daughter-in-law? Daughters-in-law. I wasn't sure how to phrase this in English. There are two of them.
Yeah.
This is from a short book in the Old Testament, and that is all I'm going to give you guys. It's a very well-known story.
And we'll say this book is one of my more loved books, personally, just because it is about a woman.
Mm. Okay, yeah. No. I was going to say, is Zoe going to say more or what? But no, you're doing
good. I'm on my best behavior tonight, girls. So while you guys are busy thinking up what the Bible quiz could possibly be, please enjoy Better King by Brannon Murphy.
180 degrees on I Am Youth Movement.
Follow us on Facebook today.
I Am Radio.
So we just listened to Better King by Brannon Murphy, and I quite like that song, honestly. It was giving Austin Mahone, but it was very, very funky. But before we listen to that song,
I asked you guys a question. So the question was, what are the names of Naomi's daughters-in-law? And the answer to that is Orpah and, I don't know how you say that in English.
Orpah.
And Ruth.
Yeah.
In Afrikaans, Orpah in Rut.
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 Rut. Hmm, interesting.
Hmm. Very classic Afrikaans names as well. Fun fact, my grandma, her three sisters, the three of them, were supposed to be named after these three characters. The oldest is Naomi, second oldest is Orpah, and then, like, I don't know, her dad was over it. He's like, you're going to be named Vienna after an actress.
Okay.
So, Naomi, Orpah, and Vienna.
There was literally one more child left to name.
And he was just like, I'm not feeling it.
He's like, forget it. You know what's interesting, though? A fun fact about the name Orpah. Oprah was actually supposed to be named Orpah, but the doctors misspelled her name.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
As in Oprah.
Yeah, Oprah Winfrey.
As in, you're getting it.
You get a card. We're all getting a card.
And I think Oprah is like a really popular name now.
Yeah, it is. It is, actually.
Zoe really loved that moment.
Zoe, wow, Zoe. Your inner Oprah was channeled and it was just manifested over these mics.
Zoe is an extrovert and it came out in that moment.
Oh my goodness, you can't get rid of that part of me. But for now, let's just go on into the happy health tip.
Health tips. How to be happy in your health. It's not just about being healthy, it's about being happy. Should be quite interesting. Chocolates are the true source of happiness.
So we are in the happy health tip section of the show. And yes, chocolates, and I will always encourage you, chocolates are the true source of happiness. So tonight we are going to speak about how to maintain a healthy lifestyle during exams.
Very apt currently.
I know I need that.
Yeah, Zoe, because I wanted to say, I know, you know, students are all writing exams, or if you are in the middle of exams, I just thought, you know what, let's get into maintaining a healthy lifestyle. So number one is cut back on other commitments. If you can, minimize your hours at work or any other major commitments you usually have during the week, like the deer park.
Zoe didn't know I was going to bring that in there.
Oh my word, the shame.
Wow. I feel like I've been thrown under the train.
I want to put in an impromptu tip. Remember to relax and take enough breaks, like going to the deer park.
So it says, this will take a lot of pressure off and will allow you more time to study without the need for late nights. But I know some people actually study better at night. What are you guys? Like, would you study better at night or during the day?
I study the best 4 a.m. the day of the test.
Okay.
Do not follow my toxic study habits.
I study best in the evening, but as soon as it hits 10 o'clock, if I don't know it, I don't know it. I'm going to sleep.
Number two, eat a well-balanced diet. It's tempting to reach for study snacks such as chips and chocolates to see you through exams, but you will find it much easier to concentrate if you eat nutritional meals and healthy snacks. Number three, avoid excess caffeine. Many students fall into the trap of turning to coffee or energy drinks to help them study. You may think that it will help you study into the night or pep you up for the exam, but it is more likely that you'll crash. Okay, you can't see, but I did it in air quotes. It's more likely that you will crash.
That was one of my best friends' like exam routine. They would wait until the last second to start studying till like 10 p.m. and then like, cool, she'd down a monster. And then she'd study through the night, like, completely. Mm. And then she'd get to the test the next day, be so tired, she's like, right. And then she'd down another monster.
Oh, my goodness.
And she was like, time to... And then she'd get home, and then she was like, done.
K.O.
I'm just going to pretend like I didn't have, like, 3 cups of coffee today.
Number four, get a good night's sleep. Sacrificing sleep for late-night cramming isn't a good habit to keep, even if you want to be more prepared for your exam. It's unlikely that you'll do your best studying if you are struggling to stay awake. Mm. Number five, find a friend to study with. Studying with friends offers an opportunity to take a break and socialize while remaining productive. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I can study with a friend. Like,
same.
I know some people are different and it helps, like study groups, but I do not think I can actually study with a friend. I'll end up speaking about, I don't know.
Same. I'm cracking jokes about the study material.
My friends refuse to study with me because I can study with them, but when we study together, there's always something more interesting to talk about. I'm the problem. I'm the drama.
You see, and admitting it is the first step to recovery.
So true.
Next point is allow yourself some study breaks. Some study breaks.
Ah.
Not all the time. Some study breaks. Studying can be tiring, so it's important to stop and refresh every so often. Next one is learn to manage stress. Each student has their own way of dealing with stress, and you need to determine what works for you. Doing some exercise, having a short nap, catching up with your friends, or even just taking a few deep breaths are all good ways to relieve your stress and to refresh. And the final one is plan a post-exam reward for yourself, like the deer park. Planning something fun for after your exams, whether it's a dinner with friends, a movie night, or even a trip away, will offer you something to look forward to and motivate you to work hard right until the end. And I can actually say that you will actually feel like you deserve that post-exam treat. Yeah. You know, if you know, I've worked hard, I've studied hard. So you're not stressing about the results while you're on your trip away. You know you've done what you had to do. So I think that's a good tip.
Yeah, it's especially true. I used to practice something similar to that. I would deactivate my Instagram during exams, and then like I'd just say to myself, oh, you know, once it's over, you're going to go back, and things are going to be Gucci, you know? Mm. And I don't know, when I would come back after my exams, I felt like I wasn't wasting time anymore. So it really is a great way to motivate yourself by giving yourself nice little rewards.
And giving yourself a nice little social media detox as well.
Yeah. The social media, Lord knows, it can be toxic.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Ooh.
Mm. So now let's just listen to Sunday Morning Feeling by Apollo LTD featuring Ryan Stevenson. This one's a fun one. And that was Sunday Morning Feeling by Apollo LTD and Ryan Stevenson. Mm. Such a fun summery song.
If you were not on your feet during that song, because you had 180 degrees, we bring the heat with the music. Wow.
We were having a really good jam session here in the studio.
Legit. We really love the music we play here on the show.
Mm.
Oh my goodness. And just like that, it's 5 minutes to eight.
Sure.
At the bottom of the hour. We had a fun show, you guys.
It was fun. It was inspirational. I think the show was well-rounded.
So true. We had nice What's Down in Cape Town that I would love to do. A fun, groovy movie. Nice Bible quiz. Really testing the youth out there. And then also a nice happy health tip that's very relevant.
Mm. Yeah. And on that note, good luck to everyone who's going into exam season now.
So true.
University students who are currently writing, as well as high school students, I think, that are starting to.
Yeah. Mm. Matriculants, especially, who are doing their finals. Mm. I know it's a very stressful time.
You are in our prayers.
Definitely.
Indeed.
And tonight, we just want to encourage you guys before we leave with Philippians 4 verse 13, which says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So when you do that, when you're studying, when you're doing that exam, you are not alone. Do not lean on your own strength. Know that God is with you and you can do all things through Christ. This has been 180 Degrees.
Signing out.
Tweet us at @IAMYMovement.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.